and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Titans mini camp opens up tomorrow. It is the mandatory mini camp, which means Jeffrey Simmons has to be there again for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And usually on Thursday, they'll play wiffle ball or they'll play rock, paper, scissors and tug of war. And then they'll call it a break and we'll see you all in July. So this is kind of the end of the road for the offseason, although it's been certainly an offseason for the Titans until training camp starts next month. Now, there are guys that are being released around the league, guys that teams wanted to try to trade, guys that teams have said, hey, stay away from the offseason program. Jalen Ramsey is still out there. The Dolphins are still trying to move him. And there's probably still some veteran players out there that teams, you know, hey, he's got a $9 million salary. We'd like to move it if we possibly could. Today, for instance, the Packers released Jair Alexander, who, after he sat on a Will Levis pass and intercepted it for a touchdown last year in the Green Bay game where Levis looked like a complete and total failure, Brian Callahan's pumped his tires talking about an all-pro corner and how good he is and how he just made a great play and don't be mad at Levis. And so should the Titans have any interest in Jair Alexander? Jermaine Pratt was released, an inside backer from the Bengals, and Paul Kaharsky tweeted out an hour ago at paulkaharsky.com. I get the sense the Titans will consider inside linebacker Jermaine Pratt, who came free today. But I have to ask a question when it comes to the Titans, and I don't expect the Titans to go after any of these guys. I got an email today about Jair Alexander, Von Miller, and Za'Darius Smith and their next team odds. Jair Alexander, the Titans, 50-1, the same as the Saints. Von Miller, odds of the Titans, 40-1. Now, Za'Darius Smith, not that bad, 22-1. As far as the Titans are concerned, but again, they're not very high on the list. And I have to ask, has anybody brought up the fact that the Titans' payroll is very far down in the NFL this year? And this almost never gets brought up. And when I brought it up surrounding the quarterback and the Giants trade, everybody looked at me like I was a conspiracy theorist. When I said, if you were to make the trade, if you were to go out and acquire Geno Smith, for instance, to play quarterback, or you would have signed Sam Darnold to be the quarterback instead of taking Cam Ward, and then you made the move with the Giants where you moved back to number three and you picked up their first this year and you picked, or next year, and you picked up their second this year and you pick up their second next year, that would have added $100 million in cash over the next 2 years. That is $50 million. And I can break it down because, again, you're paying the bonus. Cam Ward signed a $40 million contract with like a $32 million signing bonus 2 weeks ago. Cam Ward is now $32 million richer because that's the signing bonus. So if you were to not pay him $32 million, but you pay Abdul Carter slot $30 million, that's a loss of $2 million. But now I got to pay Geno Smith. Now I got to pay Sam Darnold. One of those guys is about $40 million. So now I'm paying an extra $40 million. Then I've got to pay my second round pick, his bonus. That's about $5 million extra this year. Then I got to pay the second round pick, his bonus next year. Again, that's $5, $6 million, the extra one. Then I got to pay the extra first rounder, his bonus. And when all was said and done, it was close to $100 million. That's $50 million over the next 2 years. Each year for the next 2 years. And everybody looked at me like, oh, that's not why they didn't make the trade with the Giants. Oh, that's not why they didn't pursue a veteran quarterback. That's not why. I'm like, $100 million? $100 million is not chump change in the NFL. $100 million is a lot of money. As of right now, according to SpotTrack, the Tennessee Titans have, and again, these are their numbers. Who knows how accurate they are one way or another. But the Tennessee Titans have the 22nd payroll in the entire NFL. That is fourth, if you're counting at home, in the AFC South. And I'm supposed to believe that the Titans are going to be interested in guys that came free because they were making too much money and didn't want to take pay cuts? in 2024, last year. Because remember, the Titans demonized free agency because it didn't go well for them. They finished 3-14, and they got everybody excited with Cushenberry and Ridley and Snead and free agency. And then they say, oh, no, free agency, bad. They're the 25th highest payroll in the NFL. Fourth in the AFC South. They spent $257.9 million, according to SpotTrack, on their team. Indianapolis spent $259 million. Houston, up there towards the top last year. Houston spent the 10th most, $295 million. So now we're talking about a difference of $40 million. Houston spent $40 million more than you. And Jacksonville spent $318 million. We never talk about this. 2023. Remember, you people believed that the salary cap was real and that John Robinson had ruined the cap, and that's why you had to sign Andre Dillard and had to sign Aaron Brewer and had to put crap around Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill at the end? Yeah, in 2023, you had the 26th highest payroll in the NFL, which was also fourth in the AFC South. Indianapolis was 21st that year. Houston, again, they were on their way, shockingly. Houston had the fourth highest payroll in the NFL, and they went 10-7 and made the playoffs. And Jacksonville, once again, their owner, he spends 19th in the NFL. All these guys are spending more money than you. So when it comes to the Titans and signing guys, you know, whether it's Jermaine Pratt or whether it's Jair Alexander or whether it's Jalen Ramsey, they're not going to do it because they're not going to spend any more money. And I can't tell you why they're going to spend, why they won't spend any more money. I can hypothesize for you why they won't spend any more money. Certainly the tariffs, you know, in the building materials and the stadium cost, that's going to be a real thing. And the Titans are responsible for cost overruns on the new stadium. Certainly the fact that attendance is not going to be very good this year at Nissan Stadium, that probably has something to do with it. I can't tell you what it is. I can just tell you, the Titans are not spending money on the football team. Even the year that they spent money on the football team, they still had a lower third payroll. So before we get into this, what do you think about signing this guy? What do you think about signing that guy? What do you think about adding this guy? What do you think about adding that guy? I'm just going to tell you, if they're worth a crap, the Titans aren't going to sign them. Because everybody who they could acquire that could really help their football team next season, like Jalen Ramsey, who, again, is he Jalen Ramsey 5 years ago? No. Would he be the best cornerback on your team who's not involved, who does not have a bad knee and is not allegedly involved in a shooting? Yes. And he might be better than that guy, too. But they're not going to do it. They're not going to spend the money. Again, I can't tell you why they're not going to spend the money. I'm just telling you, look at the facts. They're not spending the money. Even the year that they, quote unquote, spent the money, they had the fourth lowest payroll in the division. You have to go all the way back to 2022 to find a season where the Titans had a legitimate, you know, a legitimately competitive payroll. They were 13th in the NFL. That was real money. 2021, the Titans, you know, that year that they had the 95 players, they were 16th in the NFL in payroll. And the payrolls have gone up. You know, again, what they were spending to be 13th in 2022 is less than they're spending now to be 22nd. But as of right now, the Cleveland Browns are spending $347 million on their team. The Buffalo Bills are spending $340 million on their team. You're spending $280 million on your team. So before we get, again, all into the, well, let's spend the money. Before we get all into that, let's be real with, for whatever reason, the Titans just aren't that interested in spending all the money. And I don't know what that reason is, but it needs to get discussed. It needs to be discussed. And I will say this. I have told the Titans, you know, because, again, the Titans demonized free agency after last year. Oh, free agency, bad. Draft, develop, retain, good. And I said, free agency is not bad. Free agency is bad when you go out and get guys that are hurt and spend your money on running back and completely ignore right tackle. That's when free agency is bad. Free agency is not bad. You can't build a winner in free agency for the most part simply because you can't sign Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in free agency. But give me a break with this. Well, let's talk about all these veterans and whether or not the Titans should go get them. They're not going to spend the money. They haven't spent the money. Why would you expect them to spend the money now? Again, I'm convinced they didn't make the trade with the Giants because they wanted to save the money. That's where I sit. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on our program. Plus, with mandatory minicamp, that does mean Jeffrey Simmons does have to show up. I expect that he will show up. And then he has to talk to the press. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. That was Chad Brinker after the draft saying, hey, we're going to work. Well, Amy's on board with the plan. And I'm saying, I think you need to spend some more money. Is Amy on board with that plan? And it doesn't look like the answer to that is yes. Again, according to SpotTrack, the Titans payroll, 22nd in the NFL. And that includes, I think, Cam Ward's new signing bonus, which is a massive part. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Cam Ward, from a cash standpoint, is the highest paid player on the team. According to SpotTrack, this year, Cam Ward will bring in $32.9 million. So essentially $33 million. He is the highest paid player on the team. Dan Moore, $30 million. Calvin Ridley, $23 million. L'Jarius Sneed, $19 million. Jeffrey Simmons, $18 million. Lloyd Cushenberry, $10 million. You know, that is the top of the Titans as far as the money is concerned. Fourth in the AFC South for a fourth consecutive year in terms of spending. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And I do wonder why this doesn't get brought up more. And I think, again, this goes back to the Fugazi NFL salary cap, which Roger Goodell has even basically admitted is totally fake. He was asked about at the owners' meetings kind of what discussions they've had, and he said, we had a big discussion about the salary cap and the integrity of the system, i.e., is there actually really a cap there? Because the poor owners are getting upset that the rich owners, i.e., the Eagles, the Ravens, the Bills, are spending above their skis. Cleveland's spending a bunch of money. They don't win, but they're spending a bunch of money, and again, that makes the poor franchises sit back and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on now. The Las Vegas Raiders don't have the money to spend. Chip from Mount Juliet says they spent money last year, just not on the offensive line where it was needed. Again, they had the fourth highest payroll last year. In the fourth highest in the AFC South. Dead last. Yeah, they spent money, but when you don't sign any of your draft picks, because you whiffed, and that's a John Robinson thing, because none of Rand Carthon's guys had come up or have come up for second contracts yet. So that's a John Robinson thing. When you whiff on all your draft picks and you don't have anybody to sign, and then Ryan Tannehill leaves in free agency so you're not paying a quarterback, and then Derrick Henry leaves in free agency so you're not paying the running back the money you were paying him before, and Danico Autry leaves in free agency, I mean, that's going to open up a lot of money to spend. They spent money in free agency, but it wasn't like they had a super high payroll last year. And last year, everybody kept telling me when it came to the Titans, well, Jared, you can't fix everything in one offseason. And I kept saying, you need to go get a right tackle. Jermaine Illuminor, $7 million. I guess that wasn't in the budget. Titans. And then they spend the money on guys like Sneed and it doesn't work out. And then people point to free agency as the problem. Free agency is not the problem. Spending appropriately in free agency is the problem. One texter says, Kevin goes, she's saving money to pay her part on the stadium. Salary cap be damned. Cash is cash. Let me tell you what I believe. Again, I don't have the numbers. I don't have the books. I don't have the Titans talk about how great their PSL season ticket sales are going. And I have a hard time believing that that's true. And the only reason I have a hard time believing that that's true is because I have heard from far too many people who are day one season ticket holders at the current Nissan Stadium who have said to me either in person, on the text line, everything else, that have said, I got priced out of the new stadium. I mean, I have talked to a bunch of people that have said, we got priced out. Now, the premium tickets, maybe they sold through those because, again, the people they're going to for the premium tickets are the people that have been paying a premium. And so when you ask them to pay just more of a premium, they have the ability to do so. But a lot of fans have been priced out. The other thing is, there's not exactly a lot of confidence in town around the team doing any better. And I talked to an athletic director a couple weeks ago about all the money in college athletics. And I said, how do you pay for all this stuff? You know, when it comes to the players and the coaches and the facilities and the AD said to me, you got to win. I mean, you know, you got a packed football stadium, you'll make your money. If you don't, you won't. So between the fact that the building costs are going to go up because the things that get tariffed are the building materials to build a stadium. And when you're building a stadium, that's a lot of crap. They're going to have to pay more. They're responsible for the cost overruns. Again, that big influx of cash that they're going to get from the sales tax of everything, you know, on in that East Bank project or whatever it is, that's not coming until it's actually built. So I do think that this is stadium related. I do think the reason I am going to be completely honest with you. And again, nobody would ever admit this, because there's probably four people on the planet that would know whether or not this is true. And if this ended up in The Athletic, or this ended up on ESPN, or this ended up that the Titans brass, Brinker, Borgonzi, the guys that were just preaching picks, picks, picks the day Borgonzi got hired. Again, this would never get out. But I can't envision guys that are willing to not win this year, guys that are talking about draft, develop, and retain, guys that want 12 top 100 picks over the next 3 years, I have a hard time believing that they didn't look at that Giants offer the same way I did, salivating. But again, if you do that and then you sign a quarterback, you're going to have to pay $50 million more this year. Is there $50 million in the budget? And that would be $50 million more next year. Because when you have the third pick in the draft and the fifth pick in the draft, because the Giants are going to suck even if Cam Ward's their quarterback, you're still going to be over budget. And did they say, hey, like, we want the picks? And they said, well, you can't afford it. And we can't afford to pay a quarterback. We can't afford to pay the picks and pay a quarterback. So just go draft the quarterback. And again, they would never admit to that, because if it came out, they'd get fired. Because, again, there's only like three people that would know whether or not that happened. I believe that's why they turned down the Giants. I believe they did not have the money, the cash, to turn down the Giants or to accept the Giants' offer. One texter says, more proof you don't understand the cap and payroll relationship. I think I totally understand the cap and payroll relationship. I have been the one that has said the cap is fake. And I've said this for about 4 or 5 years. And no matter how many people come up to me and try to argue that the cap is real, every single time there's another one of these things that says, oh, wait a minute, maybe the Eagles, maybe the Ravens, maybe the Bills, maybe they play with a different salary cap than everybody else does. Again, the Giants couldn't afford Saquon Barkley. They were paying their quarterback $40 million. They have no good players, and they couldn't afford Saquon Barkley. But the Eagles, who are paying their quarterback $46 million, they pay two tackles, they pay a tight end, they pay two receivers, they pay their defense, they pay their coordinators. The Eagles could afford Saquon Barkley. Texter says, the problem with the Titans is they keep hiring these idiots to be general manager to stay under the cap and have the highest payroll in the NFL. You have to be very savvy and have to have players that are willing to agree to creative restructures. Don't forget, every time you're restructuring someone, you run the risk of a Ryan Tannehill situation, a player you are locked into paying a fortune for whose full salary cap hits the cap and you can't win the Super Bowl. If you are as passionate about this as you say you are, just study it more. Yeah. And the Broncos, they couldn't do anything with Russell Wilson's immovable contract. And then they got rid of Russell Wilson, who was making more than Tannehill. Again, anytime somebody wants to do something, they can. The Atlanta Falcons moved on from Matt Ryan and claimed it was about the salary cap when it was really they chased Deshaun Watson, and that pissed off Matt Ryan. They were going to chase after Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun said no, they were going to go back to Matt. Matt was the one that said, uh-uh. I mean, we're not doing this. You guys are not cheating on me. And then the Falcons said, well, it was the cap. And then the Falcons went and spent all that money on Kirk Cousins and still drafted a quarterback. I mean, just in all seriousness, give me a break. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Okay. Jeffrey Simmons and minicamp. He better be there tomorrow. It's mandatory. And the explaining he has to do. And does he know that he has that explaining to do? We'll get to that next. Somebody company 1025 the game. All right. Tomorrow is a mandatory minicamp. So if you are one of the Jared, it's voluntary. OTAs are voluntary, and you shouldn't be upset that even though Brian Callahan has gone out of his way to say that this offseason and team building and leadership development and everything else is going to be paramount in this team having success, and that we need leaders to step up, and the only guy who we have appointed as a team, as a leader, the guy who has appointed himself as the team spokesperson and given himself his own logo, he's decided to say, screw you guys, Jared, it's voluntary, and you need to accept it. So if you're one of those people, okay, fine. Well, tomorrow's not voluntary. Tomorrow is mandatory. The next 3 days, it's the mandatory minicamp. And I am absolutely fascinated by what Jeffrey Simmons is going to have to say when it comes to his absence from OTAs. Brian Callahan can't say anything publicly because he is bound to support the players taking the voluntary approach to the voluntary offseason. And Brian Callahan, you know, the NFLPA has come out and said, hey, we don't want to have an offseason program anymore. In fact, let's come back in July. Instead of coming back July 25th, let's come back July 15th and have a conditioning ramp up, and then let's get right into it. And Brian Callahan has been staunchly opposed to that. I mean, I'll just say this. I take a vacation right before the start of training camp because even for radio people like me, it's kind of a grind. I take a vacation. Last year, I ran into Brian Callahan on vacation. We were vacationing in the same spot. And we ran into each other, and I was like, isn't camp like in three? Shouldn't you be back now? Like, I mean, you know, for me, the media portion's not. He's like, yeah, we're going back tomorrow. And Brian Callahan has said publicly that he needs that time off and that the coaches work really hard, and they get it. So Callahan, not only is he bound contractually, you know, with the slap of the wrist from the NFL by saying that the voluntary program isn't voluntary, Brian Callahan certainly does not want to be the one that pushes the union towards what they want, which is to eliminate the offseason program. But the media is not bound to the same code that the coach is bound to. We know how bad the Titans were last year. You know how bad the Titans were. Even if at this point last year you thought they were going to be good, and I was the one pushing back saying toxic positivity and sunshine pumping, you now know, oh yeah, they were that bad. We all know the dire state of the Titans franchise. How if Cam Ward is not the guy, it's going to be a long trudge. And we know how much pride Jeffrey Simmons takes in pretending that he's the transcendent superstar of the Tennessee Titans, and how last season, we all know the Titans were proud to promote him as such. I mean, the infatuation with signing Simmons when Rand Carthon became the general manager was, if not 100%, it was certainly at least 75% about the fact that they didn't sign A.J. Brown. So it's like, well, we screwed up by not signing A.J. Brown, so let's not screw up and let's sign the other guy. But the other guy's not as good as A.J. Brown. That's Simmons. So when it comes to the media, again, we know the Titans are bad. We know Callahan has said that singing Kumbaya this offseason is going to be transformative for the football team. Even if that sounds kind of silly, that's what he said. We know Jeffrey Simmons appointed himself the team spokesperson. We know it. So we as a media, we have to ask Jeffrey Simmons, so where the hell were you? And his answer, and I am not speaking for him because I'm not him, and I don't know what he's going to say when he is asked, where in the hell were you? His answer is going to be very, very telling. Because whatever he says, in order for him, and you heard the cut we played coming back where Chris Sanders was saying, you need to get somebody else in here to be a leader. That's Chris Sanders, the nicest, most positive, glass half full person you will ever meet in your entire life. And he's saying, we need to get somebody else in here to be a leader. What that's telling us, what Simmons has to tell us over the next 3 days, whenever he gets asked about it, which I think should be after practice tomorrow, he's got to say something that doesn't leave us and doesn't leave you all, the fans, thinking, man, Simmons really is saying, screw this crappy team and I'll just worry about myself. Because I don't know how a football team can really preach teamwork, togetherness, accountability, hard work, with the team-appointed face saying, screw that. So even though it's just a mandatory minicamp, it is a big week for Jeffrey Simmons. Because the one thing about Jeffrey Simmons that I know is that he cares what people think. I know it. Again, Jeffrey Simmons has me blocked on Twitter and is still publicly complaining about things that I've tweeted. Why? Because he cares. Why does he care? Because, again, that's what people are saying. He cares about what people think. And if you care what people think, know that your answer tomorrow after practice, when you explain again where in the hell you've been, as Brian Callahan has been trying to get this 3-14 team off the map, it is going to go a long way about what people think of you. It's not as if Jeffrey Simmons, when people talk bad about him, plays better. You know, Barry Bonds told a story one time. I think he told this to Terrence Moore, who's a longtime columnist of the Atlanta paper. And Barry Bonds said one year he decided, Barry Bonds was just a chief a-hole in his career. Forget about the steroids and everything else. Bonds was a total jerk. And so Bonds one year decided, I'm going to be nice to the media. I'm going to be a nice guy for a change, which must have been very difficult for Barry Bonds because deep down inside, Barry Bonds was not a nice guy. Barry Bonds decided to be nice to the media. And midway through the season, Barry Bonds wasn't hitting. And so the veterans on the team went up to Barry Bonds and said, Barry, what's the matter with you? And Barry said, I'm trying to be nice. I guess I'm just not hitting. They said, well, go back to the old Barry, because even though you were an a-hole, we need you to hit the ball. It's not like Jeffrey Simmons doing things his way with his own logo t-shirts and hats and chains, and him being the self-appointed team spokesperson, and him being on all the advertisements and all over the Titans' house. And all, it's not like that makes him play better. So maybe he should have tried to do things differently this offseason and, you know, spent time with the team. But regardless of what you think of Simmons, what he really cares about is what people say about him, his reputation. To me, he comes off as a total fraud. I think he is soft, and I think he is weak-minded when it comes to just worrying about what everybody else says. I think he's incredibly he lacks total self-awareness. Well, we're going to see. Because, again, if his answer tomorrow about where he's been is something along the lines of, well, I don't need to talk to you about it, or it was voluntary, or what do you care, or it's none of your business, or if it says to us, screw the team, I don't know how Jeffrey Simmons comes back from that inside that locker room and with this fan base, unless he has 25 sacks next year, which I'm not even sure he's capable of. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. If you have a Jeffrey Simmons thought, we will get to that one. Plus, I do wonder what he's going to say. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. There you go. That was Chad Withrow on our program on Friday saying, hey, if Brian Callahan gets up there and acts like, oh, all's well, Jeffrey Simmons wasn't here, but it'll be fine, that will undercut Brian Callahan's leadership. If Jeffrey Simmons is a captain, that will undercut Brian Callahan's leadership. I'm just here to tell you right now, again, I believe in honesty, I believe in transparency, and I am telling you, I believe in intellectual honesty, where I'm not going to tell you something stupid just trying to get you to believe it. I just don't believe in that. Brian Callahan, this is just my opinion, Brian Callahan is not going to change. Brian Callahan is not going to make an example out of Simmons. Brian Callahan is not going to turn this into me versus Simmons, talking about Callahan versus Simmons. He's not going to stand up to Simmons. He hasn't done anything in 18 months of being the head coach of the Titans that would make me think he's going to stand up to Jeffrey Simmons. All of a sudden, he's going to do it now. Give me a break. But I do wonder what his explanation, what he will say, what the reaction will be. I do wonder that. Because that's the other piece of the puzzle. What's Simmons' reaction, and how do the fans believe what Simmons has to say on one side? And then how does Callahan treat the fact that Simmons, regardless of whether or not he's in shape, which I'm sure he is, regardless of whether or not he has kept his end of the bargain, Simmons publicly is saying F the coach by not showing up. Again, the guys who don't show up are the guys that don't want to be there, the guys that don't like their contracts. Simmons, by all accounts, and TD was on the show last week, he said, Simmons, he wants to be here. He wants to be a part of the solution with the Titans. And Simmons should like his contract because he's overpaid. He is not underpaid. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin, Simmons clearly wants out. We can't trade him because we would not get enough value. I would just work him like a dog this year with no tapping out, no sideline time for a break on third down, no subs, play the whole damn year. He's a loser, and I can't stand him. Yet you can't do that. If Simmons runs off the field, what are you going to do? Play with 10 guys? Call timeout and tell him to get back out there? You can't do that. The Titans are in a tough spot. I've told you what I would do. You know, it was funny because Joe, in Jared versus Joe last Wednesday, we were asked about what should the Titans do. And I have said, if I am Brian Callahan, I am announcing that this year I'm picking the captains. Because last year we let them vote on the team captains, and I didn't like the leadership. And this year we're changing things up. So I'm picking the captains. Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Lloyd Cushenberry or Kevin Zeitler, you know, one of the offensive linemen, Cody Barton, the inside backer, Amani Hooker, the safety, Morgan Cox, the long snapper, and Sebastian Joseph Day, a clearly inferior player to Simmons who does all the right things And quite frankly, the gap between them, I don't know what Sebastian Joseph Day is making. I think he made like $3 million last year. I'm sure he's making somewhere around like $5 or $6 million. The difference between his $5 or $6 million and Simmons' $23 million, the gap between the two players is not that much. But clearly an inferior player at Simmons' position, he's captain, you're not. That's what I would do if I were the coach. And Joe Retro was like, you can't do that. The players need to vote on the captains, not the coach. I'm like, well, then what can Brian Callahan do? Because he can't suspend Simmons because technically the voluntary program is voluntary. You can't dock his pay. You can't do any of that. And Joe was like, well, I guess he should just file it away. File it away for what? Again, if you want to win football games this year and keep your job, you need Jeffrey Simmons on the field. But I also think Simmons needs a spanking because if he doesn't get it, he's going to perform the same way he performed last year, which is like crap and not producing. So, I mean, again, I you can't do that. Like, there's just no way to do that. Skyler says, why haven't the rebuilding Titans tried to trade Simmons? He's a terrible leader, and he wasn't even that good last year, and he's nothing but consistent drama. So Pro Football Focus actually says Simmons had a pretty good year last year. You know, Simmons had that whole thing with Jill Jelinek where he was like, you know, I get double-teamed every play, and I know when I say this, I look like some butthole, but I get double-teamed every play, so go ask all the coaches how they have to stop 98 because I'm so good, even though our team sucked, that I... Pro Football Focus actually says Simmons played well last year. Here's the thing. And I know the Titans have bullcrapped with us about this for a while. The interior is not as big of a deal as the outside. The tackles, the edge rushers. The Titans have tried to argue that it is. Like when they said, oh no, the reason we drafted a guard with the 11th overall pick is because guard, center, guard is the new NFL. Because these defensive tackles are the new game changers. No, there was one guy who was a game changer. His name was Aaron Donald. Go watch the Chiefs. When they play high-end games and high-end defensive moments, Chris Jones lines up outside. Now, Chris Jones is a freak, and he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. But he goes and lines up outside. DTs and guards, again, you'd like to have good ones. And you can't have nobody at that position, but it's not going to make or break you. You can get by at guard just playing, again, you know, rotating guys. And that's what the Ravens do. The Ravens don't spend a lot at guard. They let John Simpson leave in free agency and replace him with Daniel Falele, and it'll be fine. They spend at tackle. They draft at tackle. Edge rusher. That matters. So, I just don't think there's value there for trading Simmons anything more than a second-round pick, and I don't think that Simmons is worth... I think that his worth to this team should be more than that, which, again, I don't think anybody would trade a first-round pick. I've used the argument that if I were the Titans, I would call the Giants, Shane Bowen's defensive coordinator, and I would try to trade for Brian Burns. I think they're similar-ish players, similar age, both productive. Burns more productive because he's an edge rusher, similar-ish money. And again, the Giants have three pass rushers. You can only play with two, and you need pass rushers because you don't have enough. And I think having a Brian Burns would make it more palatable to have used the 38th pick on the big boy inside in Tavondre Sweat. Because now it's like, well, I'm stopping the run with the big boy, and now I've got Burns coming off the edge. I don't think the Giants would do it. Maybe they would, but that's the kind of thing I would consider as far as a trade, because I don't think anyone's going to offer a first-round pick for Simmons. But that's why I don't think they've tried to trade him. Plus, again, I think the Titans, they sit there and say, well, he's our one guy. He's our one star. He's our one star. 615. 737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025 here on our program. So college sports apparently had a big weekend. Talk about a Friday news dump with the House settlement. I've got a hard time thinking this is that big of a deal. I really do. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Let's go ahead and give something away, because why not? Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you'll score a pair of tickets to see Incubus performing with Morning View in its entirety, The Hits, plus special guest Manchester Orchestra at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, June 25th. Good luck on that. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.